fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
It's time for Fitter, Happier, our weekly health segment. The past 12 months have seen a significant spike in drowning deaths nationally. Western Australia recorded a 22% increase, with males accounting for 90% of all drownings. With the weather heating up, it's important to remember how dangerous and unforgiving the water can be. And joining us this morning to discuss all the hidden hazards and keeping water safe is Rachel Murray, Health Promotions Officer from the Royal Life Saving Society of WA. Welcome, Rachel. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
Tell us a bit about yourself and the work you do at the Royal Life Saving.
Sure. So at Royal Life Saving, I guess as an organisation, our overall purpose is to basically empower our community to be safe around water and ultimately lead efforts to reduce the impact of drowning. A lot of people in the community have probably interacted with our organisation at some stage during their life. So maybe they've done swimming lessons.
Got my first aid certificate.
Oh, good to hear. So yes, lots of people might have participated in some of our training courses as well, maybe even supported us with a donation. So we are very much sort of, out in the community. And I am lucky to be part of the health promotion team here. So we're responsible for delivering a range of our community programs, which aim to educate people about basically drowning risks and how they can keep themselves safe. And of course, promoting the positive aspects that come with participating in spending time around the water as well. So we're very lucky. We get to spend lots of time out talking to people and sharing our message, which is fantastic.
22% increase is a big number. Why has there been such a significant spike in the number of drowning deaths in this past year? Do we know what's behind that trend?
Yeah, so I guess the thing to keep in mind is that obviously, as you say, 22% is a really significant increase. But the good thing is that we are on the whole talking about reasonably small numbers overall. So that is the positive. But what we actually speculate that this increase could have been due to over the last year, and it was actually seen right across Australia, is probably, as with so many aspects of life recently, probably somehow attributable to the effects of COVID. So one of the biggest things that we've really seen is that increase in people holidaying more domestically, and obviously in WA with our various border restrictions, we've been pretty limited to actually travelling within Western Australia. And so that means that people have been going places that maybe they haven't before within the state, which might be remote, might not have a lot of other people around, emergency services and so on, and areas where they might actually not be familiar with that sort of aquatic location. And I think sometimes when we're on holidays, we all have that sort of tendency to maybe do things that we wouldn't normally when we're at home, whether that's taking more risks or participating in activities that we wouldn't normally. So that is probably our biggest reason that we'd speculate that it might be due to. And I guess although it wasn't the case so much here in WA over the last year, nationally we did actually see an increase in drowning deaths among kids. And so there we think possibly it could be that sort of aspect of people, of course, spending a lot more time at home, really distracted with things going on around working from home, homeschooling, and of course all of those other sorts of activities, which means that potentially there are those opportunities for young kids particularly to get into some of those water dangers around the home, things like home swimming pools, paddling pools, and fish ponds. So that could be part of it. And we have also seen in areas where there were longer and more restrictive lockdowns, so particularly in Victoria, we saw that kids were actually missing out on swimming lessons, as of course they were with lots of activities. And of course there was just less access to public pools as well. So for teenagers and adults who might have normally been spending a lot of time around the water, that could have also affected their sort of fitness and confidence around the water. So that's, I guess, where we think. It's always, a bit of speculation, I guess, as to what it might be, but it certainly seems to be the case.
We know that you can drown in even, a few inches of water in a bathtub can result in a drowning. When it comes to, in the home, in the pool, out in the ocean, do we know what the breakdown is between those different areas?
Yeah, so it does vary from year to year and depending on different age groups. So for young children, so kids under 5, who are actually the group who are most at risk, we do tend to see most incidents happen around the home. And home pools account for about 50% of those incidents. When we look at the broader population, I know in WA over the last year, we saw that things like basically ocean and beaches accounted for probably about 45%. So that was definitely the biggest one for us here. But we do also see quite a lot of what we kind of term, you know, inland waterways, so things like rivers and lakes. And swimming pools does still tend to be a big one, even in our sort of broader age group, in older people particularly. Often that's due to other medical conditions and those sorts of elements. But yeah, those tend to be the big risks that we see.
This is Fitter Happier on the Record on RTRFM 92.1. With Graeme Watson, I'm talking to Rachel Murray. She's the Health Promotions Officer at the Royal Life Saving Society. Rachel, we know that men accounted for 90% of drowning deaths. Why are they so significantly overrepresented in the statistics?
Yeah, so this is something that we consistently see in not only drowning data, but all kinds of injury data as well. So it's something that is, fairly apparent, and it's across the lifespan as well. So we do see that young men particularly are more vulnerable to drowning, but even in very young children, we do see that disparity. The reasons why are probably not all that surprising. So we know that men are simply more likely to participate in water-based activities generally, so things like boating, fishing, surfing, jet skis, all of those types of things. We tend to see more men participating in them, and so there's just that element of exposure.
I think we also know men are more likely to take part in risk-taking behaviour. I think our brains are probably not built properly until we're, you know, in our mid-50s possibly.
Yeah, oh, look, I can't possibly comment on that.
I'm willing to say it.
Yes, based on the data, we definitely do see that, yes, we do. It does tend to be a lot of risky behaviour, so that might include things like drinking a lot around water, swimming alone, not wearing a life jacket when boating or other situations they might need them, and even sort of activities like cliff jumping or things like that that are probably, obviously bigger risks. We do also know, I guess, from, I've seen it certainly in conversations that I've had, and I know from the research as well, that sometimes men can maybe underestimate the risk that water presents to them and overestimate their own abilities. So, you know, people do think, well, I've been around the water my whole life. I'm a strong swimmer. If anything went wrong, I'd be able to save myself. So I think there's probably a little bit of that attitude. The other thing that is quite interesting is that there's a tragically large number of people who drown while they're actually attempting to rescue someone else from the water. And we know that the vast majority of those sort of rescuer drowning deaths are actually also men. So that's something that we do tend to see quite starkly as well.
Why is alcohol consumption a big issue in this area?
So I guess, as is the case with all kinds of environments where we might be consuming alcohol, it certainly does put you at more risk of injury and obviously in our case specifically drowning. These are things that people know, but I think particularly around the water, there's those elements of the fact that it can impair your judgment about what is a risky behaviour, and also perhaps giving people sometimes that sense of thinking they're capable of more than they are, which obviously ties in quite nicely with what we were just talking about in that sort of risk-taking behaviour we do see in our men. Of course, it affects things like your coordination and reaction time. So if people do fall into water or they do sort of are swimming and they find themselves in trouble, it might be more difficult for them to swim, to be able to see a safe way to get out, to respond to instructions for people who might actually be trying to help them, or even if they were, you know, on a sinking vessel, trying to escape from that and sort of being able to rationalise the way to do that. And so in water emergencies, time is so vital. So if people are impaired in being able to sort of make that decision and make good choices, it can really be quite literally the difference between life and death.
I spent a large chunk of my life near water because I lived on a cruise ship for many years, and it shocked me that many people who worked on ships didn't know how to swim.
Oh, wow.
It's never too late to learn to swim, is it?
No, absolutely not. And we've got programs for people right across the lifespan. We have recently, probably last this year really, been delivering a program called AquaSkills 55 Plus, which is for adults over the age of 55, as it sounds. And so that goes through things like swimming, life-saving skills, resuscitation, and we've had a really good response from that. We've also been teaching for several years people who are have migrated to Australia and may have never learnt to swim. So we've got lessons for adults, which are starting at the very, very basics, And we've seen really amazing progression from people through that. So absolutely, we would encourage everyone that it is never too late to learn.
Last thing I want to ask you, like, most drownings do occur in rough water conditions, but we should still be worried about calm sort of inland waterways like lakes and rivers as well, shouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think often people's perceptions of the biggest drowning risk is at coastal locations. And obviously, of course, there's things like Bondi Rescue that's sort of people's first thoughts when they do think about drowning. But we actually do see around the country a very large proportion of drowning deaths occurring in those sorts of inland waterways. And I think part of that is probably that sort of false sense of security that you might get because it does look calm and still. But there can actually still be a lot of dangers at those kinds of places. So obviously it can be things like currents and fast-flowing water. And even if it looks still on the surface, it doesn't mean there's not sort of strong undertows underneath. Submerged objects like rocks and tree branches that people could get caught on can definitely pose a danger as well. In WA, of course, we've got areas that are prone to flooding, and so water conditions can change very quickly. So even if people are sort of used to swimming in a particular location or have been there for a while, the floodwaters can actually affect that and I guess make that potentially more dangerous. And also the fact that, of course, a lot of inland, well, most inland waterways certainly here, aren't patrolled by lifeguards, and they can also be quite isolated. So if you do get into trouble, often there's actually no one there to assist until it's potentially too late. So absolutely, we would be encouraging people to think of all water locations and not just those sort of coastal areas.
As we head into summer, it's time for everyone to skill up on all their water safety information and knowledge and their first aid qualifications. If you haven't renewed it, it's time to go do it. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about this issue.
Not a problem at all. Thanks so much for having us. And I just encourage everyone to spend time around the water. We do know it comes with so many benefits, but please just make good choices and make sure we're keeping that healthy respect for the water as well.
Thank you very much, Rachel. I will be getting in the water tomorrow as I head off on holiday to Rottnest. That was Rachel Murray, the Health Promotions Officer from the Royal Life Saving Society of WA. For more information, you can head to healthywa.com.au or royallifesavingwa.com.au.